Hi, it's Karen Webster, and welcome to Topic TBD, our weekly show that addresses a topic in payments and commerce that's both making news and is newsworthy. Today, I'm happy to be joined by Jay Reno, the founder and CEO of Feather. Hey, Jay, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks so much for inviting me on. Pleasure to be here.
So Feather, just for everyone listening, uses a subscription business model to allow millennials to rent furniture for their apartments rather than having to buy it. And so that's really our topic today, how new business models are changing how consumers, and in particular millennials, spend their money, and more importantly, their perspective on what's worth spending their money to own. So Jay, you and I were chatting a little bit before the live broadcast. Buying furniture for your first apartment used to be sort of a rite of passage. It was something you went out, you looked for the perfect sofa and the little accessories that went with it. And now millennials are thinking very differently. What tuned you into this very different way of thinking about what used to be a rite of passage?
Yeah, no, that's a great question to bring up. I think the biggest shift that we're seeing here is that the younger generation, so for lack of a better word, millennials, they're moving way more frequently than their previous generation. And very specifically, they're moving frequently between when they go to college or, you know, leave their home and when they buy their first home. So that is typically between 18 and 35. Those people now, the millennials, are moving 12 times on average throughout that period. And so I don't have stats on the previous generation, but I know it was much less frequent. People would find a job, they would stick at their job much longer. They'd find an apartment, you know, a place to either rent or live or buy much earlier. And they would kind of settle into that life. Well, today, we're seeing a lot of people really just move frequently and want to have freedom and flexibility in their lives. And to back up just a little bit, I think that the American dream has actually changed. People no longer want to own the house, have a bunch of cars, and a white picket fence at the end of the day. People don't aspire to have that. What they aspire to have in their lives is freedom and flexibility. And so that's kind of the big shift away from ownership. Ownership of things ties you to a physical place. It ties you to a home. It removes the ability to have that freedom and flexibility in your life. And how that all ties back to furniture is, well, out of necessity, people are now shopping they're more frequently shopping for furniture. Because they're moving, the new stuff won't fit in their new place, and so they'll end up, instead of buying the things that are perfect for them or that suit their lifestyle or their personality or style, all of that, they're kind of compromising and going to a place like IKEA and buying stuff that they might not otherwise want to have in their home. So yeah.
So is it a let me unpack this a little bit. So there's a convenience factor, which is if I'm moving, that's a stunning statistic, 12 times over basically a 15-year period, you know, just about once a year-ish. Why schlep everything around since it's uncertain whether you're going to be able to fit it into your teeny-weeny apartment that you can only afford in New York, for example? So is it that, or is it that they don't have the money to buy what they really want?
Yeah, it's more the former. You guys are a fintech podcast. You probably have most of the listeners would know a little bit about, you know, fundraising, financing companies from venture capitalists. And I talked to a number of associates or principals in the early days while we were raising money. And, you know, the salaries of those folks are generally, you know, pretty good for early roles. And I would always ask them, well, what furniture do you have? And they would say, well, you know, I'm kind of sheepishly like, oh, well, I buy mostly IKEA stuff and have to deal with assembly and delivery and then having to move it in between homes. And then I scrap it and buy new IKEA stuff. And I was like, well, you could afford slightly nicer furniture. Why don't you just do that? And the response is, because I'm like, I would love to have slightly nicer furniture, but I'm savvier than that. I don't want to spend $2,000, $2,500 on a sofa right now when I know there's probably a 50% chance it won't fit in my new apartment, or I'm going to get a girlfriend or a boyfriend and they might have an item, and so I'll have to try to sell it for 10% of the cost we bought it for. And so there's all those factors that come into play here. And we're seeing this like shift away from wanting to own stuff to wanting to rent stuff or have stuff in a more subscription-based model where things can be taken away or brought to you when you want them and taken away when you don't want them.
So I went onto your site and I looked at all the various packages. I mean, you can get a bedroom, you can get a one-bedroom apartment furnished with lamps and all the other little doodads, two-bedroom apartment, and the prices are, they vary, of course, but for $100 a month, you can get a one-bedroom apartment pretty much furnished, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit more than that. That might be the cost to rent a bedroom
right,
with the furniture. So that'd be mattress, nightstand, dresser, bed, and lamp. It'd be around, a full one-bedroom apartment would cost about $200 a month.
Jeez, I mean,
that would include everything soup to nuts. So dining table, chairs, nice sofa, side chair, coffee table. I'm probably missing something.
Yeah, I mean, it literally, you have like the little doodad. So it does look, reasonably furnished when you walk in. But you've chosen a modern style of furniture. And there's not much variety. So millennials are okay with just having, like, give me that in blue. I don't want a different style. Like, I'm okay with what you have.
Yeah, that's kind of one of our core challenges as a business is some people like to have their own style in their apartments. And that's true about 40% of our orders. 60% of our orders actually come through packages. So someone will rent a one-bedroom apartment package or a living room package or a bedroom package, and they're all picking the same package right now. We're going to be expanding our package list so you can have more styles than what you just see on the site today. So it might be like, hey, do I want a mid-century modern package, or do I want the Scandinavian package or the industrial package? But ultimately, a lot of people, where they are able to show their own personality is not necessarily through the nice gray sofa or through the dining table, but through the art that they have in their home, or the throw pillows or the sheets and the towels and everything else. And so the furniture is really interesting. Our business, we ideally everyone wants the exact same sofa. And everyone wants the exact same dining table and exact same bed, right? So that when we get those items back, we're able to when we clean them, check them for quality, and then decide whether we'll rent them out or not, that we could be able to rent those out again. Whereas if there were 50 sofas, it'd be more difficult for us to get that back and say, we've got to move the sofa now. And there's a 1 in 50 chance that sofa will be chosen by the customer.
Got it. So the idea is to give some variety as you develop your packages, but nothing that is so distinctive that it would turn someone off. The idea is to make the personal stamp through accessorizing and, as you say, investment in art and other things that become the focal points, and the furniture becomes kind of the backdrop, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. And don't get me wrong, like people still own stuff, and they still want to own stuff, but only things that have some sort of intrinsic value to them. You know, most of the time a sofa or a mattress or a dining table doesn't come with that like level of emotional baggage. It's just a vessel. It's a thing that helps you, you know, eat, or the thing that helps you sleep. Whereas the stuff that people do still want to own or have in their lives would be things that are more memorable to them. So that would be something like art, or those other soft furnishings.
Do you think that this is a reflection of different values and emphasis on experiences or investments in things that are meaningful versus the furniture industry largely failing this generation in providing things that are both affordable and interesting to buy?
You know, I think there are a lot of options that are coming up now. You know, you've got companies like Wayfair that have tens of thousands of SKUs on their site. So there are options for everything, right? Mm-hmm. There are options for everyone. But where I think a lot of this falls flat is that people don't want to be choosing from 50 different sofas even, right? Like they want help deciding, okay, I know what I like. Help bucket what I like into certain styles and then give me, you know, accompaniments with that core sofa that I really like. So if I say, I really like this, you know, this mid-century gray Shea sectional, help me bundle other things around this that will just make it really easy for me to decide on and get back to my life quickly. Mm-hmm. And again, yeah, I think it's much more interesting to help people solve for those conveniences that don't exist than it is to offer people too many options where they get right. You know, decision paralysis and don't know what to do.
I agree with that. Now I know you're still a young company, but based on your experience so far, what's the typical profile of one of your customers, and how long do they actually keep the furniture that they are paying for? Is it 3 months, 6 months, a year?
Yeah, all good questions. So most of our customers, well, we have an incredibly wide variety of folks who are finding this useful, which is a really good thing for us. It's not just one very specific type of person, gender, age, et cetera. It's pretty widespread from between, again, the college student all the way through someone who might own a home but might be in town or living somewhere for 6 months or a year mm-hmm. for work. So, mm-hmm. And the majority of people are the normal consumer who just, who is moving between homes either within a city or between cities. That's what we're finding is our typical demographic. Now, if you want to look at each of those, and look at each of those user personas, there are folks like international relocators who are coming abroad mm-hmm. from Luxembourg and don't have anything here and need to start completely new. To people who are moving between apartments in San Francisco or New York or anywhere, and realize that they're going to jettison 70% of their items because they don't fit or because they've worn out or they don't like them and they want to upgrade. And so that's kind of where we sit. We touch on a lot of different customer segments. And people are renting mostly for 12 months. So that would mean the entirety of their lease. And that's really what we wanted to see the ability to help people in their normal lives, not just people who are going to be in the city for 3 months, but people who are, you know, regular folks who are living a normal life within an urban area and just want to move away from owning a lot of stuff to, again, not having to deal with stuff in their lives.
Some of the application of these subscription models to products I find so fascinating. You know, we're so used to subscribing to digital content for the obvious reasons, but you know, you think about Rent to Runway now, which is branching off into a subscription model where someone can get 4 outfits a month for $89 and, you know, you wear it and then you send it back. Porsche is experimenting in one of its dealerships with being able to subscribe on a monthly basis to drive a Porsche so many days a month or miles a month. And yet, in that situation, they're hoping the customer likes the experience so much to buy. Rent the Runway, you're not able to buy the items. So two different use cases, two different end games. What is your end game? Do you anticipate people saying, I love this gray sofa so much, I want to buy it? Or is this truly a subscription model that at the end of the lease, they move, they leave it behind?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And that is actually our number one request from our customers is,
really?
Hey, I really like these items. Is there a chance that I could buy them out from you either halfway through my period or all the way at the end of my period? And our answer is yes. Right now, our website doesn't allow for it, but we are working on that right now.
Interesting.
And also, yeah, and Rent the Runway, actually, they do allow purchases of the items. So so in both of those scenarios, those two companies have realized that, hey, I'll use Rent the Runway for example. They think the subscription model will work. It's starting to work really well for them. But they don't want to remove the flexibility that they set out to create and give people. And we're the same way. We want to give people the flexibility to say, I want you to pick this up and take it back from me, or I want to be able to own this at the end. And so that's where that's the ultimate flexibility in furniture. Today, all e-commerce is we sell it to you, you own it,
yep.
That's it. Or all rental is we'll rent to you for a short period of time, and that's it. Well, we think, again, going back to the American dream is changed or has changed, is people care less about owning and they care more about flexibility. And sometimes flexibility might be, hey, I know I'm going to be in this apartment. I'm going to sign another year lease or 2-year lease. I actually really like the sofa, and I think I'll want it for another 2 years. Can mm-hmm. I have it for another 2 years? And we would never want to say no to someone who's trying to get that flexibility in their life.
I think it's so interesting that the, you know, what used to be regarded as a negative, oh, you have to rent your furniture? You know, back in the days of the 50s and 60s, you know, the rent-to-own places, you know, there was a bit of a negative connotation to that. It's very different now.
Yeah, completely. We've become pretty good friends with some of the folks at Rent-A-Center and Aaron's. You know, we're not really competitive with them. You know, although we do have a rental model or a rent-to-own model. You know, they've traditionally gone after folks where they needed to finance the cost of furniture, otherwise they wouldn't be able to have it. Mm-hmm. And in doing so, we're able to charge some pretty good rates for the business in that sense. You know, we're currently a bit higher market than them. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't see ourselves being there forever, and we do not want to just be catering to this, you know, the like Silicon Valley tech bubble community. For us to get started and with a purchasing power that we have, we kind of have to, you know, make sure that our business can sustain itself. But with each new order that we get, we're able to lower our prices mm-hmm. because we then have better purchasing power from our suppliers and our manufacturers. And so we really hope to continue to come down market and make this much more accessible to a lot of different people. And getting back to the original question here, like, how has the perception of rent to own changed between when Rent-A-Center or Aaron started in the 50s and 60s to now? It's a good question. I think people and Rent the Runway are really, really good example of this, and I think they're the ones paving the way to helping consumers realize that non-ownership, or the word renting, is actually in many cases a savvy decision. You know, the people who are deciding to offload ownership are the smart ones, because you then aren't tied down by your stuff and could decide, hey, I really like this dress, I'll buy it from them at a little bit of a premium. But the convenience of not having to have owned it, and, you know, I can test it out and make the decision later, far outweigh the cost of renting. So
yeah, no,
I think it's just changed dramatically.
Yeah, I mean, their concept, you know, was brilliant. You know, especially for, you know, truly the Rent the Runway items that are very distinctive, very expensive, and the kinds of things that you'd wear once anyway, and then either give away or resell. So why do that when you can rent, you know, the Oscar de la Renta, you know, Vuvu dress for a fraction of what it would take to buy it. So I mean, I think that's right. It's just fascinating how, you know, now new business models, you know, with the subscription model has given rise to thinking about bringing new categories of products into that model. I think it's really opening up a lot of new commerce opportunities.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's really what we're doing. Is our core challenge as a business is to help show people that rental, or at least not starting with ownership, is the savvy way to have furniture in your home or to have things in your home. That's our core challenge. Just like it was Rent the Runway's challenge to say, hey, you know, maybe you don't want to buy that dress. Maybe you want to try it before you buy it, right? Or give it, have the option to give it back. We face that same challenge, but I think the challenge is less insurmountable now that there are other companies that have paved the way.
Yeah, and the benefit is, you know, you actually have nice looking stuff rather than, you know, the air mattress on the floor or, you know, whatever other horrible things people tend to put in their apartments when they're not sure what to buy. A question about the relationship that your customers have with those items. So sometimes when you don't own something, you're not quite as careful with the things that you're then renting or using. Have you had any situations where you've gotten furniture back that's been ripped or holes or damaged? I mean, have you experienced the lack of respect for the merchandise since people are really renting it and it's not theirs?
You know, it's interesting. The answer is really no, not as much as we thought and anticipated. Mm-hmm. So something not being theirs, yes, like when you're renting a car, you might be really excited to step on the gas a little harder or step on the brake a little harder because, you know, it's a bit more exhilarating to do that in a rental where you can return it and no one's really going to notice if you, you know, destroyed the engine a little bit more than if you were driving your own car. You know, furniture it's immobile. It's people respect it when they have it. They don't want to ruin their own furniture. They're not used to doing that. When they get our furniture, you know, they know that they're going to be returning it. Normal wear and tear is completely covered, you know, by our business. If there's, you know, big wine stain on the sofa, because they had really, you know, good night one time and it just stained and there's nothing that they could do about it. And, you know, we get that back, we're generally pretty, like, we haven't seen that very often, and people are very understanding and respectful about the furniture too, mostly because, you know, if something is broken, then they're technically on the hook for it, but we don't enforce that all the time. It's really up to us to determine, you know, what happened. Was it a reasonable break? Is it because the item that we rented them may not have been, you know, may have been on the lower end of our quality list, and like, oops, that's our bad for having that item on our site. Mm-hmm. Or is it, or, you know, a really sturdy item that shouldn't have happened to, and it's kind of clear that there may have been some foul play, for lack of a better word.
Right.
But yeah, it's not as common as you might think.
Do you expect that most of the furniture you get back, you'll be able to put back in circulation, or do you factor into your model, you know, whatever fraction is appropriate of things that you'll just have to toss because it's water stains on wood, or, you know, the dog threw up on the sofa and you can't get the, you know, the stain or the smell out? What have you built into your model?
Yeah. Couple things. So first is we've curated the site with items that stand up to wear and tear better than mm-hmm. just a typical item would. So like mm-hmm. if you shopped on Wayfair or IKEA or whatever, you know, those items would sustain damage much easier and are way more susceptible. The things that we get, we make sure the surfaces are easy to clean. They could be restained mm-hmm. if there is an issue. With mm-hmm. a water stain, the items can be, like, the sofas have foam in the cushions that are a little bit firmer to start so that it can wear a little bit and it'll actually look and feel better over time rather mm-hmm. than, you know, getting a sofa that just turns to mush after 6 months. So there's a lot of that we do in advance of bringing the furniture to people's homes. But then, yeah, I mean, you know, it's possible that we get some of these items back and they're broken, and, you know, we do our best to make sure that we're not going to charge the customer too much money if they have broken something. But you know, the reality is, like, if we get something back and it's unusable and it's the first time we've rented out, then we haven't been able to, you know, break even on that item and may have to, you know, charge a fee to have it replaced, not the full fee, but anything that would kind of help us be able to break even on that item. So yeah.
It's a fascinating business. We're unfortunately out of time, but as I think about your competitive set, you know, you mentioned IKEA, certainly that represents an interesting category. Some of the things on Wayfair that represent sort of the hard goods, yeah, I think that's, you know, that's also a competitive challenge for them. But, you know, you think about the local yard sales where people are getting rid of, you know, sofas and end tables and coffee tables. It's, you know, you're giving people an interesting option who would otherwise be looking at OfferUp or Craigslist or some of these other places to furnish their apartments. So it's an interesting and a little bit disruptive model when yeah. it comes to this.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Maybe the last point I'll leave here is I'm actually going through a move right now, and this last week has been complete hell between me and my fiance. We've gotten into major fights. I'm building a company around trying to make this experience better for people, and it's just completely solidifying that it needs to exist. And so I'm really, really grateful to have this opportunity to be building this.
It's interesting. Often founders build companies based on friction that they've experienced. It sounds like you're living through it now. But Jay, it was really great to get to know you and to get to know Feather. And continued good luck to you.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it was wonderful talking to you today.
And I hope the move goes well. No more fights. You know, I know this company that can rent you some furniture if you really want it.
Yeah, we are really excited to not have to deal with the furniture in our new apartment.
All right, Jay. Listen, thanks again for your time today, and everyone who listened, thanks for joining us. Have a great rest of the day and a good weekend. Bye-bye now.